This is Insight Live on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Eva Rutland wrote more than 20 romance novels in her lifetime, but in her memoir, which was written in the 1940s and 50s, she traces her family's move from Atlanta to Sacramento. Eva and her husband Bill Rutland, with their four young children, became the first Black family on the block of their neighborhood in Sacramento, and their children became the first Black children in their public school. Bill was a civilian with the Tuskegee Airmen. So Ginger is one of the Rutlands, now all grown up and very successful children. She re-released her mother's book in 2007 with a new title, When We Were Colored, A Mother's Story. And then she adapted it into a play, which is in the midst of its world premiere at Sacramento Theater Company on the Pollock stage. The show continues through April 28th. In the studio with me, it's a pleasure to welcome back Ginger Rutland, the playwright. First time I'm introducing you with that title.
Yes.
Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
I also have the actress who plays Ginger, Brooklyn Solomon. Hi, Brooklyn.
Hi.
Glad to have you, too. So, Ginger, you place us in the play in the present tense with your family, but their questions and experiences from decades ago can, in an interesting way, become our questions. How did you do that? How did you work on the voice for the audience?
I have, when I republished the book in 2007, my mother and I went on tours throughout Northern California, also around the country. We were in New York, we were in Atlanta, we were in Florida, and I told the story, her story, during those periods, and it became... the audience reaction was very inspiring to me. Both white people and Black people sort of gravitated toward us, and we were sort of like a safe place where they could talk about things that happened to them in their own lives regarding race. White people who said, you know, when I was a little girl, I had this Black friend, and my mother wouldn't let me play with her. And then the Black people saying, oh, I remember going to school and being the only Black child in that classroom and how awkward it was for me and how ostracized I felt. So I felt the story had universal appeal and for both today and way back when.
Hmm. You wanted this to be a happy, upbeat story. There's a note in the program that you wrote, this is not just another play about Black grievance. It is also about the joy of being Black, of two people falling in love, laughing, dancing, raising children, and growing old and infirm together. Had you seen too much of the unhappy story?
I had. I tell you, I go to Ashland a lot, where they have this wonderful regional theater. They do a lot of Black plays, and they're all uniformly grim. And I told those people in Ashland, I said, hey, I've been Black all my life, and believe me, life is not that grim for me. There's a lot of joy in being Black, and I don't think that's emphasized enough. And when my mother wrote her book, she wrote about the Black middle class, actually the Black upper middle class. And there's yes, there was discrimination. Yes, some bad things happened. But for the most part, she had a happy life. I've had a happy life. And I think that part of the Black story isn't told often enough.
Except the word to her wasn't Black, was it?
No. She called it colored. That's why, when we were colored, that's why I changed the title of her book. It was originally entitled The Trouble with Being a Mama, which I thought was boring. So I changed it to When We Were Colored, which was the polite phrase of her day.
So your mom passed in 2012, but before then, she had been on Insight with the previous host, Jeffrey Callison. And that matter of retitling the book is talked about. It's addressed in the play, by the way, in a very funny scene. But we thought it would be a pleasure for everybody to hear your mom on this program. First, you're going to hear the voice of the host, Jeffrey Callison.
This was your first book, but it had a different title when it came, when you first wrote it. What was the title then?
The Trouble with Being a Mama, which is the title I like. But my Ginger, she liked being colored, so that's why we changed it.
She is amazing, adorable, and precious in this play. What I love is that the characters on stage give a dimension and freshness to the story that I think is so palpable in 2019, Ginger. It's quite an experience.
Yeah, it is an experience for me. As I said in my note, this for me was a love letter to my parents, right? And when I see it on stage, I just, when you're a kid growing up, your parents are just your parents, and you don't think they're extraordinary in any way. But the more I write about my mother and think about her and my father, they were extraordinarily good parents, and they lived, you know, interesting, good lives.
Brooklyn, tell me about the relevance this play has for you.
It definitely resonates. From the time that I first read it, I fell in love with the play. I fell in love with the characters. Certain aspects of the interactions between Ginger and her mother, you know, remind me of interactions between myself and my mother. And it's so relevant. It really is.
When you walk on stage, I think a lot of the audience that knows Ginger must gasp and think, oh, what great casting. You have every mannerism, the way you dress, you got it right. But how was it to try to capture this person who's quite well known throughout the region? And there's a bit of an expectation in taking on this role.
It's definitely nerve-wracking when I know that people that know her are in the audience, of course, but just having been around her for as long as I have, from a couple of years ago to now, I feel comfortable with her, so it makes it much easier.
There's a scene about the afro, and the two of you can probably tell this story together. But the play overall pulls out vignettes that take on what I'll call topics, maybe signature topics that both Black and white people talk about. And one of the maybe lighter ones is the afro. That's a true story that happened?
That was a true story. I mean, when I was going to college in the 60s, I originally arrived like all the other Black women with straightened hair. And we got there and we were in the Black is Beautiful and Black Power movement. And I cut all my hair off and I got this huge, enormous afro, which dismayed my father no end. And Brooklyn plays that role really well.
And you play this scene with your dad saying you're wearing that fork in your hair, the pick in your hair.
Yes.
And so talking about that, that happens to be, is that really how you wear your hair too?
Yes. I cut my hair off like 3 years ago.
Is there ever any discussion about the way you wear your hair now?
Yeah. I mean, now it's mostly positive. I'm primarily positive. I'm just in a store or at a restaurant and someone will just come up to me and they're like, I love your hair.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of the thing now, natural hair. It's, you know, going back to being natural.
Yeah. It was controversial in the 60s, mm-hmm. and it was exaggerated in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Like my afro was hard to get through a door. It was so big, you know, it was kind of ridiculous. I've toned it down a bit, but in those days, that's what we were trying to express, a new, you know, a comfort with not just our color, Black, which was also an insult, mm-hmm. you know, way back when, but also our natural hair, our broad noses, our thick lips, everything about us, we wanted to say, let's not be ashamed of it anymore. Let's be proud of it.
In one of what for me was the most poignant scenes, you as a little girl are talking to your mom about friends at school. And you're sitting on her lap and you say, who can't I play with?
This actually, I take everything that happens to a bunch of different people in my mother's book and they all happen to me, Ginger. This incident actually happened to my older sister, Elsie. Elsie had a little white friend at school and she would only play with her at school because her mother, the white girl's mother, did not want her daughter to play with colored people because colored people were dirty, colored people were uncouth, colored people were da-da-da-da. And so Elsie comes home, and she's invited the little girl to come to her house. And she doesn't come. And she's really crying, and she's very sad. And she says, you know, the white girl's mother, you know, her mother's very careful with her. She can't play with Chinese, and she can't play with colored, and I wish I wasn't colored. And then she says to her mother, Mom, who can't I play with? And the mother's a little confused. What do you mean? You can play with anybody. She says, well, aren't I special too? Isn't there somebody I can't play with? Like, maybe I can't play with really black people who are really, really dark. And the mother says, are you nuts? No. And she says, well, aren't there maybe some Indians who don't speak English that I couldn't play with? And it's really sad. And I think my mother was, when she wrote that, she was thinking about, anytime you get a child who's rejected, you as a parent, you can't fix that. You know, what happens to the child outside in a school when other children are mean to them or they experience hurt, and you want to protect them from the hurt, but you can't. And I think this was a vivid description of children hurting children and parents being or mothers being unable to protect them from that hurt.
Mm-hmm. It is also an example of how I think you raise questions that are present, that are today, because I can imagine that conversation happening in homes, sadly, still, who can't I play with?
Yes. Mm.
You are listening to Ginger Rutland, and in the studio also is the actress Brooklyn Solomon, who plays Ginger Rutland in the play When We Were Colored. It is in its world premiere at Sacramento Theater Company through April 28th. You might know that Ginger was in her career in television news. She was for a long time at the Sacramento Bee on its editorial board. At one point, she was a commentator here at Capital Public Radio for a number of years. And you worked with an important director, I think, for this body of work. And the directing in the play is really remarkable, along with the character development. Do you want to talk about working with him?
Yeah, his name is Stephen Icke. And Stephen Icke, it was a serendipitous way in which he got the play. My sister had a friend who knew him, and we sent the play to him. He called me and said, hey, I love this. I really want to do it. And over a period of many months, he and I rewrote the play together, and then he came and directed it. And I think he did a great job. The Pollock Theater is this small space, and
when you sit in the seats, you're really kind of in the stage, on the stage. You're at the edge of it. It's a very long and narrow, intimate theater.
Very intimate. And he did a kind of a minimalist. Brooklyn can talk more about the minimalist kind of. He made it simple for you.
It was very simple. He did an amazing job directing because the transitions are so seamless, because some of them are, you know, even happening while other action is happening on stage, but you don't notice it. Working with him was a dream.
I tweeted a picture of the stage at Cap Radio Ruyak when I saw the show over the weekend. You can't tell that the edge of it is all of us sitting right there. I do want to add a bit of a parental guidance, which I think is appropriate for the play, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Middle school and up, but probably not under middle school.
Right. I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think people in elementary school would understand
it. Wouldn't really even, yeah.
There are some really funny scenes with your dad, and the actor who plays your dad takes him on beautifully. We should say something about him, Michael Asbury.
Yeah. He's terrific. He really, when I saw, when he auditioned, he actually sent in a video, and I saw it, and I said, oops, that's Dad. He's really, he really embodies my father in a way that I was so happy to see.
Your dad navigates these issues about housing. Where and how can the family get a house in a good neighborhood, and jobs? When is he accompanied and treated in different ways and even served in different places? The N-word is addressed in a scene with your dad. Was there some debate about?
There were, Mom, it's exactly as it's discussed in the play. My father used the N-word liberally. as many black people do in their own homes with among themselves. Mm-hmm. And my mother, when she wrote the book in the 40s and 50s, used it as well. And when we republished it in 2007, there was a lot of discussion about should we continue to use the word. And my mother said, we will continue to use it. And so now I just say anybody who's offended, they have to take it up with my mother, who is dead, or my father, who is also dead, and otherwise. But it's an authentic, I think, expression of what black family life was like. And is still like, I think, often.
We're invited into the debate, though.
Yes.
Right there in the play. I think, if this is correct, your dad was at one point the highest ranking black civilian employee at McClellan Air Force Base.
Yeah, he was. He was actually the highest ranking civilian employee there. Black, white, green, blue. He was. He began his career at Tuskegee Army Air Base during the Second World War. And Tuskegee was where they trained black pilots for the first time. And then when Truman integrated the armed forces and integrated civil service, he moved first to Ohio, where my twin sister and my brother and I were born. And then we came to Sacramento in 1952. And he gradually moved up the ranks at McClellan and retired as the top assistant to the general there, Dewey Lowe at the time.
I'm sorry, we still stumble. I still stumble in these conversations sometimes, distinguishing him as a black civilian employee.
Yeah.
Which is the way I found it written in a historical accounting.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that's not even necessary, just the highest ranking civilian.
Yes,
and
there. He did, United States Air Force provided him a nice, comfortable living.
Ginger, the play is probably embarrassing or painful for people because of how it reveals everybody has acted at times in the past, and people have been treated or mistreated in the past. There is definitely that reality. You serve it to us with a lot of humor and, my gosh, so much love. But the reality is still the reality.
Well, I don't want people to leave feeling guilty. I just want them to leave feeling informed. And I hope more knowledgeable just about black life, how the extent to which, as my mother always said, you know, people are people, and they're very much alike. And black families are like white families or Asian families or Hispanic. We're very much the same in the way we feel about each other and our children and what we aspire to and so on.
Let's hear a bit from Brooklyn as Ginger. I think you're going to share some of a monologue with us. Do you want to set this up a little?
Yeah, this is from the top of Act Two, the conversation with the parents about the Afro and the militant behavior in college and whatnot, and just in addressing the term black, you know, versus colored or Negro, and just explaining to your father that, hey, you know, we're trying to change how people see us and how we see ourselves.
So from When We Were Colored, this is Brooklyn Solomon as Ginger Rutland.
We're trying to change the paradigm, Dad. Make ourselves proud of what we once were ashamed of, starting with our color, our blackness. Our African-American studies professor actually had us look up the words black and white in the dictionary. Under white, it says morally pure, innocent, clean. Under black, it says harmful, evil, or wicked. Even other black people hate black people. You know that old ditty, if you're white, you're all right. If you're yellow, you're an okay fellow. If you're brown, stick around. But if you're black, stay way, way back. It's about pride, Dad. Pride in the color of our skin. Pride in our full lips. And yes, pride in the texture of our hair. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life trying to look like a white woman.
That's Brooklyn Solomon. She earned her degree in theater from Sac State and in Celebration Arts production of Bourbon at the Border. She earned a Sacramento Emmy nomination for her role as Mae Thompson. It's fun to watch Ginger watch you as Ginger. Have you had to, have you had to hold yourself back at times, Ginger?
No, I am so thrilled that Brooklyn is playing me. I wish I could be as beautiful and as young and as vibrant as she is, you know, but I'm a little old. But anyway, I am so grateful that she took this role on. And I think she does a fabulous job of it.
All right, just two more quick questions. Is this play being heard and seen differently in the Sacramento region in light of the Stephon Clark case in this era that we were in? In fact, I think you were working on the play during the time of this case. So is there a connection in any way for you?
I think there's a connection in the fact that bad things happen to black people. But that's not the only thing that happens to black people. Good things happen to them as well. Life goes on. Yes, there's discrimination. Yes, there's mistreatment. But there is the drumbeat of life, that both the happy drumbeat and the sad drumbeat keep on coming. And I think if there's anything I want people to know is that so much of the black narrative is the Clark stories or the Trayvon Martin stories or the bad things that happen. And you seldom see just life that goes forward for black people that's also, you know, loving and they, you know, people fall in love and they dance and they have a good time and they love their children. Those kinds of things are seldom part of the black narrative or part, and they don't make the media. They don't make TV news. They just don't. And they're out, but they're out there. And that's the way most of us live our lives.
True. I would agree with that. Definitely. You don't see the positive out there as much. And good things do happen to us.
Or so, the joy.
Yes, there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of joy.
So to wrap this up, is there any expectation then that people should or shouldn't come to this play with?
I think when people see the word "When We Were Colored," they think it's going to be another grim example of black life. It's not grim. It's funny. It's happy. It's uplifting. And I think you should come with an idea of having a good time and leaving happy.
Definitely. You're going to have a great time.
And the little girl in the play, our young little Abisola Forrester,
yes,
is absolutely a doll. And I do want to mention that Natalie Autumn Bennett, mm-hmm, who plays your mom.
Yes, she's great. And she looks like mom. That's the other. My mother was
she
quite.
She looks exact. It's uncanny.
Yes.
And the role of the little girl is shared by Lauren Taylor Piazza as well. So now we've mentioned almost the whole cast, Elizabeth Ann Springett and Stephen Ross Thomas. So really terrific. Congratulations. I know this has been a community project of love. So to everyone that has been a part of it, I know there's great joy in seeing it get to the stage.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Ginger.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Ginger Rutland, and thanks to you, Brooklyn. Brooklyn Solomon as Ginger Rutland in When We Were Colored at Sacramento Theater Company on the Pollock Stage. It's through April 28th. There's a lot on our website. Jeff Hudson's review of the play, the past conversations, including more of Jeffrey's segment with Eva and Ginger, and you can get ticket information on the Pollock Stage through April 28th. This is Insight at capradio.org/insight.